Good morning. With a lot of the holidays kind of behind us now, we are getting back into a book that we started a little while back, in the book of James. And we remember that this book of James is a letter that it's written to the scattered believers. And James is encouraging the people who are proclaiming and professing faith in Jesus to actually live out their faith in a real way. He's basically saying, stop just talking about being a believer and actually be a believer in the way that you live your life. And so he's talked about all sorts of things, the way that we speak, the words that we say, the decisions that we make. In all things that we do, are we centering our lives on ourselves, or as believers who profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are we actually living our lives, being changed from the inside out, to not live for ourselves and just our own selfish benefit, but to actually live now not for our glory, but for God's glory? And today, James tackles another aspect of life that all of us here, at some point or another, whether we're good at it or not, that we do. So who here likes to plan for things? Who here is a planner? Let me just see a show of hands. Okay, even if you don't like it, I mean, you still plan, right? You have to. You can't live life without some kind of decision-making process of this is what I'm going to do this day or this is what I'm going to do on that day. And so all of us here, if we're even going to have some kind of a responsible type of life, there's going to be some planning involved. Again, whether we're good at it or not, that's not the emphasis here, because maybe some of us, as I said, who here is a planner, some of you just proudly raise your hand, like, you should see my planner. It's got all these different color coding about what the different things are going to be for today and tomorrow, and I check them off the list. And others are like, well, I plan, you know, the day before or, you know, whatever it might be. But I'm not here to talk about whether you're good at planning or not. What I'm here to talk about is what does it look like to plan with Christ at the center of your life? What does it look like to plan with humility, knowing who God is and who you are in this world with your purpose, your position before God, and simply knowing God? How does your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus, affect how you plan in your life? And so today we're going to talk about what it looks like to plan with humility. So humble planning is the name of the message today. And as we are already underway in 2020, I hope that this message, not my message, but the Word of God, will challenge you and spur you on, even for this upcoming week, to plan with humility before God. This is the Word of God in James chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 13 to 17 together. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, and this is what the Word of God says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Let's pray together before we get into this word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care for each one of us so deeply that even to the practical matters of living, God, you give us a guideline. But God, in these guidelines, they are not just external guidelines. They're not just behavioral things that you're trying to show us about how to be a good person or how to look like a good Christian to others. What you desire of us is real change that happens internally within our souls, within our hearts. As we get to know you more deeply, God, would you change us from the inside out? so that we would actually live as those who are your children, because that's what you've made us to be by your grace and by your forgiveness. So God, as we tackle this area of planning, I pray that you would give us humility. I pray that you give us open hearts to listen to your word. Be with us, in your name we pray. Amen. I remember reading a news article a few years back now, and it was about a high schooler in Texas, and his name was Omar. He was 18 years old, and he was very excited about the day ahead. You see, he hadn't always been the best student, but, you know, he really found a lot of support from teachers, and even the principal at his school got involved. And so the next day was supposed to be his high school graduation. So Omar was so excited. He got ready. You know, he got his cap and gown on, and he was ready to go to his graduation ceremony. And so he put on his gown, he put on his graduation cap, hopped into his friend's car, and headed on his way to the graduation ceremony. And at the graduation ceremony, as the names began to be called for the graduating class, his name was finally called, Omar Rodas. And it was called again, Omar. But as the crowd cheered, Omar wasn't there to take the stage as one of the attendees. And amidst the cheering and celebration at his name, everyone kind of looked around and they were wondering, where is he? It wasn't until after the graduation ceremony had ended that the school found out that Omar had actually been in an accident, a car accident, on the way to the graduation ceremony. He was pronounced dead at the scene of the accident, dressed, ready to go in his cap and gown. Now, you might be wondering, well, Pastor Josh, this is a pretty heavy story to start with. But this isn't just a made-up story. This is something that happened in real life. But the reason that I share this story is to remind us of how short and temporary this life truly is. I think when we're much younger, we don't really think about life in this kind of timeline where there is the reality that our life comes to an end. Perhaps as we get older, we think a little bit more on death and we reflect back on how we've lived our lives. But whether you're young or you're old, we have to have this reality, this kind of sober reality, that our time on this earth, it's not guaranteed. And when Omar, when he stepped into the vehicle dressed in his cap and gown, I'm sure that there was no part of him that thought that his life could possibly end as he was so excited, ready for the life ahead of him, but that his life would end before he even reached the graduation ceremony. None of us can assume, none of us can predict, none of us have that knowledge of how long we have in this world. James said it clearly himself, that life, your life, is a mist that's here and then gone. And so the question is, if we don't know how long we have on this earth, how will you choose to live each and every day, each and every moment of your life that God graciously gives to you? And I believe that's what God wants to teach us today, is we have to live with a humility, even in our planning of our lives. We have to be humble, acknowledge God, acknowledge our finiteness, if you will, because nothing is guaranteed. So there's three things that I want us to know, so that we can have this kind of humility before God as we live our lives and plan. First thing is this, to know your purpose. To know your purpose. Second thing is this, to know your place or position before God. To know your place, position before God. And the third thing is simply to know your God. So let's start with this first point, to know your purpose. Look at what verse 13 says. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." Now, purpose is something that we are all looking for. In fact, one of the bestsellers of all time, the book called Purpose Driven Life, many Christians bought this book, many non-Christians bought this book, because the idea of purpose, it's something that's inherent in humanity. We're always looking, what's the reason for living? Right? What is the motivation? What are we really living for? What are we doing here on this earth? And God makes it clear that we ought to, in our lives, live to glorify Him. To live for eternal things that last beyond the mist that is our lives on this earth. And there's great humility that comes when we know the purpose that God Himself has given to us. So we look here in verse 13 and we see that that does not seem to be the purpose of the people that James is addressing. Look what he says. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and what? Make a profit." Now, James is not saying don't plan for your retirement. He's not saying don't invest wisely. In fact, Jesus himself talks about stewardship of the resources and things that God has given to you. But what James is talking about here is he's addressing the attitude of the heart of these people. They talk about how long they'll stay in this place or that place. And ultimately, what they want, what they desire, is to make a profit. And what is that profit? It's for themselves to gain wealth for themselves. It's all about what they can receive, what they can get. And there's no connection there. No kind of purpose that's connected to a relationship with the one true God. You see, when there's no connection in the decisions, in the planning that you make with God, then it is actually void of the purpose that God has given to us, especially those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is James addressing the believers of Jesus, those who are professing to be followers of Jesus. So he's saying, hey, you guys are saying you have a relationship, a new life in Christ, but the way that you're living for yourselves. Your purpose is not for God. In fact, it's for your own profit. It's for your own gain. It's for you, what you can accumulate, what you can receive. He's exposing their hearts that it's about themselves. It reminded me of a parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. In Luke 12, 16 to 21, this is what it says. "And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What's the purpose that you have in your planning? As you think about what school you're going to go to, as you think about what career path you want to go down, as you think about who you'll marry, whether you have children, whatever decisions that you have that you want to make, planning that's going to take place, what is your purpose? It may not be monetary, but I want to ask you, is it simply for your own profit? Is it just for you? Because that's not the purpose of believers. It may be the purpose of those who do not know the gracious love of Christ to just go out and get for yourself. In fact, that's what the world teaches, right? You go and get yours. You do you. You let other people do them. But you take care of yourself. You work hard. You get for yourself. You store up money in the bank. You do all that you can. You meet the perfect person for yourself. All these things, and the purpose is always me, me, me. And God says, no, that's not what it's about. There's something called the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and catechism really is just a series of questions with simple answers that talk about what the purpose of our faith is. And the very first question is a simple question that says, what is the chief end of man? Which is basically, what is the purpose of man's living? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, there's a very awesome thing that we see, that there's the idea that, yes, we glorify God with our lives, but it's not this kind of disconnected relationship where we say, I'm going to just do good things, and if I do good things, then I'm glorifying God. There's a reality that in the purpose of glorifying God, there's also an aspect of enjoyment. That living life as a believer is not meant to be just a task list of things I've done right, and that's glorifying to God. No, it says to glorify God, but also to enjoy him forever. So there's this relational aspect that we can't take away from our faith. If you have real faith in Jesus Christ, that means you have a relationship with God. And so when I say, what is your purpose? You might be able to easily say, glorify God. I'm going to do my best to do all the right things and to not do all the wrong things. But God says, actually, your purpose is to enjoy me. That's your purpose. Not just obey, obey, obey. To enjoy. There's an enjoyment in obedience because we know God. What an awesome thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says that in all things we do it as worship unto the Lord. And how is that possible? It's when we have that relationship that gives us the purpose. So know your purpose. What is your purpose? What are the plans that you have laid out in your mind for your life? Is God a part of that? Not only is God a part of the plans of your life, is he the moving force? Is he the driving force? Is he the purpose that you would glorify God? I don't think that's how a lot of us are thinking. We think about what career path, what we're going to do, and we think, first thing is, how much money we're going to make. Maybe we get that from our parents, a lot of us here. I have a lot of friends who are in pharmacy because their parents say, it's a stable job, go and get money. And you're a doctor of pharmacy, so you got status. Stability, status, money, what else do you need, right? That's kind of like the Asian parents' motto. But we chuckle, but that's sin. To say to our children that those are the most important things. That's not the purpose of our lives, to be successful and just to have a lot for ourselves. No, the purpose is to glorify God. And to enjoy his presence. You know, there's nothing greater than that. You know, you could get every accolade in the world. You could win a bunch of championships as an athlete. You can get every letter behind your name with all the degrees, all the higher learning. You could get everything. You could have a $1 billion in the bank. And even as I say that, I look around, you guys are like, you know, that would be great. But I promise you, there's nothing greater than knowing Christ and having a real relationship with God where you get to enjoy the creator of the world, the universe. You get to enjoy his presence, his hand over your life, God of the world, but an intimate way that knows you, your fears, your anxieties, your hopes, your dreams, whatever, all the things that you cannot share with any other person, you can experience with God. And so your purpose, what is your purpose as you plan? My prayer is that for our church and for myself as well, in all the planning that we do, know your purpose. Second thing is this, know your place or position before God. It says, verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So basically, you know, I'm sure you might have heard it in a derogatory way where someone tells you, like, know your place, right? Like when you're kind of getting out of line, someone might be like, hey, know your place, know your role. And it's not meant to be in a condescending way, but it's just objectively, do you know your position in this world, in this life, before God? Or do we kind of live our lives like we're the main character? We're the one that's most significant or important. No, know your place, know your role, know your position before God. We are but a mist. And yet God somehow in his grace wants to use us in that time, in this world, however long it may be, to glorify him and to make his name known and to do something in this world for his kingdom. Not for our own profit, but that others might gain. Not monetarily, not externally, but that they might gain the knowledge of Christ as their Lord and Savior, a relationship with God. And to know our place means that we don't have control. You know, part of those who love to plan, I really believe that's why they love to plan, is because they feel a little bit more secure because, look, I have it all mapped out. I can rest a little more easy now. I've got everything kind of under my control. And God says, guess what? You don't have anything under your control. And I'm not saying, you know, don't be responsible, but the reality is only God knows your days. Only God knows how much time you have in this world. So we, in our attitude, ought to be humble and not assume that we have 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but that in every day, even as we plan, we say, God, I know my place before you. Today, I'm thankful for another day that I can live. Today, I'm thankful for another opportunity to live out my purpose to glorify you and to enjoy your presence. We don't really live like that. Or maybe you do, praise God. But even as I look at my own life, I have to make a conscious effort to be reminded of my position. You see, I get really wrapped up in my own life to where I got to put everything in my control. It's a very interesting thing, you know. You know, Esther and I are expecting a baby due in February, and, you know, I was very thankful some of the sisters put together a baby shower for us yesterday, and it was just great to celebrate together. One of the kind of weird things, I don't know if that's the right word, but we have to plan a C-section for our daughter in February because Caleb, you know, he was an emergency C-section, so the doctors are saying, you know, it's best to just kind of plan it, plan for it, you know, and just get the date there. So it's scheduled for February 12th, which is just around the corner, so keep that in prayer. But I share that because, honestly, even as we were, like, talking about, well, which date works, it just kind of felt weird. Like, you know, we're trying to plan out the birth of our girl, like the date that she's going to come out. And it just kind of felt strange. And I was thinking about, why does that feel strange? Well, it's because actually we could plan for it on the 12th, on the 15th, on the 10th. We can't actually predict or control when she's going to come out. I mean, if she wants to come out on the 11th, she's going to come out on the 11th, right? I mean, like, we plan for things, but never should we plan for things with the kind of attitude, Whatever I plan is what's going to happen. Whatever I plan out, I'm the one who's in control. There's a big area of surrender to God. That's what it means to know your place. It means I'm not the top guy. God's the only one who has this kind of knowledge. And so there's this idea. Instead, you ought to say in verse 15, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And I'm sure plenty of us here have, you know, we have people who we love that we've lost. And maybe some we've lost at a time that we, in our minds, say, that's way too early. You know, my father, he was also a pastor. He passed away when he was 48 years old. He had gastric cancer. 48 years old. You know, and we have a healthy boy, Caleb, and, you know, we have our little girl, her name's going to be Chloe, and she's healthy, and we're praying that she comes out healthy and strong. And but, you know, before these two children, we had another little girl, our first little girl that we were pregnant with, and we lost her at 24 weeks in the womb. So she was a stillbirth. You know, time is not guaranteed. We don't know when our lives will end. We don't. We just simply don't. And to know our place means to surrender that up to God and say, even in these things, God, I know my place. You are sovereign, but you are also loving and caring, and you are the one who holds all these things together. In Romans 8:28, it tells us that in all things, God works for the good of those who believe. So even in the midst of times when you're like, man, that was just too early. We think about the story that I shared about this guy named Omar that was 18. People would say, you have the whole future ahead of you. But that's not guaranteed. So we have to know our place. We have to know our position. Be thankful each and every day for the grace of God to have another day. So how will you use that day? With what purpose? I pray that it will be to glorify God. I pray that it will be to trust in him, to know him, to surrender to him. And that's what we're going to talk about, our final point before we close, is to know your God. Verse 16 says this, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is a sin. So you might be wondering, how does this relate to knowing God? God, this idea of boasting in arrogance and boasting being evil. You see, to know God means to experience God. To know God means to have relationship with him. To know God means to allow for that truth to actually affect how you're living. So what he's saying to these guys is, you are being boastful. You're being prideful to say you're going to go out to this place for X amount of time and make a profit. And then you're going to go over here for X amount of time, and then you're going to make profit. And you're going to do this and this, and you got all these plans laid out. And where is God in the picture? Do you know God? He's saying, if you knew God, there's no way that you can just be mapping out all these things. So, you know, with a cavalier attitude that you have it guaranteed that you're even going to have tomorrow. And he calls it evil, this kind of boasting. And it seems like very strong language to say, well, they're just planning. No, but it's cutting to the heart of what their purpose is. It's cutting to the heart of, do they know their place and position before God? Because when those things are absent, knowing your position before God, knowing your purpose in God, then it is nothing but boasting that can take place, because again, it's all about yourself. When we leave God out of the picture and proclaim to be a Christian, we're essentially saying, hey, God, I got this. God, why don't you move out of the way? Don't worry, I'll ask for your help if I need it. Get out of the way. I got this down. I'm going to go take care of my things. Look, God, I got plans. We can't do that. God has to be at the center of our decision making. That's what it means to know God. To know God means to know that that's the most important relationship that you have. I don't care how much you love your spouse, you love your children. The most loving, real, intimate relationship that you can ever have in this world is the one that you have with God. And you must ask yourself, how will planning for this, how will doing this, how will saying this, how will these things affect my relationship with God? That's the first question that we must ask ourselves. And this is in every realm. You know, a lot of people who are in dating relationships or wanting to get married, a lot of times it says you catch feelings and then you start dating and then you start thinking, oh, well, what should we do now? Things are getting serious. And then perhaps they might come to me and say, hey, Pastor Josh, what do you think about, you know, this relationship? What's going on? And I'll ask simple questions at times, and not to be judgmental or to rebuke, but just to know, the very first thing I'll ask, if the person coming to me is a believer of Jesus Christ, is the girl or is the guy a fellow believer? Are they a Christian? And the reason that I ask that is not so I can say, get out of here, you're doing something wrong. The reason that I ask that is simply a question like this to say, do you know your God who loves you and cares for you so deeply? Because if you stopped and asked God what he thought about you entering into a relationship with someone who is not a believer, then he would let you know very clearly that this is not what he would want you to do. Because he cares too much for your soul. He cares too much for your calling as a daughter or son of God, a child of God. That there are purposes for you that someone who does not know the Lord, that they can't even fathom or understand. Not because you're better than them or because you're higher than them, but simply because you know God. You know that your purpose in life has changed. And so even with something as personal as a significant other relationship, you have to go to God, that relationship first. Do you know God? Even when it's difficult decisions to make, and you may feel madly in love, you may feel all sorts of strong emotions, but test it according to the word, test it according to your relationship with God, and ask of him what he would have you do. That's humility. That's knowing your purpose. That's knowing your position before God. You're saying, God, I'm going to surrender up every single part of my life to you. And it's not only in that realm, it's in every realm. How you take care of your children. What's your purpose? How you work. How you study. What you do when you hang out with your friends. What you look at online. All these things. It's, do you know God? Because if you start there with that relationship, the most important relationship, it's going to affect all these other parts of your plans, all these other decisions that you're going to make. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Did you hear that? Galatians 6, 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It's saying, I'm not living for this world anymore. I know that I'm here for a time, but in the time that I'm here, I'm going to glorify my God. I'm going to plan my life with humility, knowing my purpose, knowing my position before God, and knowing my God and growing in my relationship with Him. So let's plan in that kind of way. Let's be a church on an individual level. Each one of us sitting here, I want to ask you, do you have a right relationship with God? If you do not, all you need to do is turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and ask of Him to receive you, and He promises you that He will. If you're not a believer, you ask for forgiveness. Acknowledge that He is the Lord, the only way to God the Father, and He will receive you. That's the truth of the message of the gospel. And if you are already a believer, as James is writing to those who profess that they are believers, ask yourself honestly, have you been planning with humility? Have you been living for God? Or have you been planning for your own profit? For your own benefit, and that's all that's driving you. I gotta get this for myself and that for myself, and then my life's gonna look good and then it's gonna get like this. Or is it God? Whatever my life might look like, whatever it might look like, I give it to you. I'm but a mist that will disappear, but your purposes, your plan for my life is something that will last forever. And that's what I want our church to be. Who knows how long we'll be here? But with every day, with every opportunity to share the love of God, to minister to the world, I hope that that's what we will humbly plan for as we move forward into this year. Let's pray together. Just take 1 minute to respond in prayer before I close us. And again, the real question, do you know God? Have you been planning with humility in your life? What's your purpose? And I ask these things and I ask myself, even as a pastor every day, what is my purpose? Why am I here at CCC? Why am I here in DC? What's my purpose as a husband, as a father, awaiting a little girl in February? What's my purpose? What's driving me? Am I surrendering all these things up to God? So what's your plan? What have you been planning for your life? Is God in the picture? If He's not, don't try to jam Him in there and force Him in there. Ask God to change your heart so that as you continue to plan in your life, that He will be the central point, the driving force of every other thing that happens. That's what our prayer needs to be. Not just, God, help me to plan with more humility. No, God, help me to know You, because when I know You, when I know my purpose, when I know my position before You, then my planning will become humble planning, because out of my relationship with You, that's how I'll live my life. So just take one moment, wherever you might be at, and just pray, lift it up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we lift up our lives to You. Indeed, in the scope of eternity, our lives, whether it's 1 year or 70 years or 100 years on this earth, it is but a mist. But God, You care about that mist. You care about our time that You give to us. We don't know how long it is or how little it is. But You care about that time enough to give us Your word to say You want us to know who You are deeply and personally, so that it affects us to the inside, that will produce the outward planning and living that glorifies You. So be with our church. Be with those of us here who have maybe recommitted ourselves to You to live with a purpose for You. For those of us here who have been living far too long for our own purposes, challenge and renew hearts for You. And for those of us here who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ, God, I pray with all my heart that through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the power of your word, that they would come to know you in a real way. And that, God, their lives will be transformed and changed forever, because it's no longer going to be about them, but it's going to be all about you. But when it's all about you, we get to enjoy your presence forever. So would you make that happen with your power? We thank you so much for the times of worship, through praise, through your word. And we look forward to all that you have in store for us in this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now go into a time of worship.